I'd invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We continue on with our series on Corinthians tonight. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone, conscience in the sight of God, everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as his servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, "I believe and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our inner self is wasting away, our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I think as any of us read 2 Corinthians, we always struggle with the language. The sentences seem difficult, the concepts hard to grasp, but hopefully we'll be able to break down things enough for all of us to pick up good things. In an attempt to break it down, I've just picked up a particular thing today that I want to look at. And it's close to my heart. Why be a preacher of the gospel? Why be a ministry worker? Why keep serving in your ministry roles, especially when life gets difficult? When you look at the Apostle Paul, and you can't help but thinking about his life here, because he's speaking so personally about really deep struggles that he's going through. This is heartfelt stuff from the Apostle Paul. He's going through tremendous difficulties. And yet he writes, and that's the theme for today, we do not lose heart. Just imagine the situation that Paul is in at the time of writing this. He's brought the gospel to the Corinthian believers. He's been there for 18 months. So many of them have come to faith under his ministry. And then he leaves and continues on with his work, but he hears things aren't going too well there. Other people have joined the Corinthian church that speak down about Paul. They say he's not much of a minister, not much of an apostle. And it's into this situation that he's writing. There are other things going on that we've already talked about. But you can well imagine that in terms of the apostles, the apostle Paul himself, that he could easily lose heart. That he could easily think to himself, what's the point in going on here? What's the point of putting so much energy into this relationship when this is the kind of response you get? Unfair responses, unjust responses. And yet as we read this passage again, we read those words, he does not lose heart. So I just want to read you a few verses from 2 Corinthians, and most of these will be up on the data projector. 2 Corinthians 1. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. This is tough ministry, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 4, in what we just read. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus, may also be revealed in our body. Chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labours, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honour and dishonour, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts. And just one that I don't have on the data projector, but this is what his critics were saying of Paul. His letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. Tough, isn't it? Tough for the Apostle Paul. The church he ministered to saying, people there saying, he's a pretty unimpressive person. Doesn't speak all that well. And he just speaks of hardship upon hardship. From those close to him, it's worse, I think. I think people that are close to you and are critical of you, it hurts more than, you know, someone who speaks about you on a Facebook post or something like that. Someone you don't know. It's just hard. And therefore, I find it so remarkable in chapter 4, and again, back to our theme, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And in verse 16 of the same chapter, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now just think of yourself and what you do for the Lord Jesus. Your ministry, be you an elder or a deacon, your ministry at school, teaching SRE, your ministry in the board of management or organising Bible study or music or whatever. Each of us have been called by God to use his gifts and talents for his glory. And just imagine if we even went through a tenth of what Paul went through here, facing criticism, persecutions for the sake of the gospel. I think most of us would feel absolutely demoralised. And we would just want to turn our back on all that and flee. It's too hard. What stops a person losing heart, losing their strength and enthusiasm for the gospel? And brothers and sisters, in today's world, people are always losing heart and finishing things. It's easy to do in marriages. Just in preparation for today, I just Googled, you know, how many people leave their marriages. And in America, I'm not sure, but I'm sure it's similar here, you know, 40% of those who get married, 40% of marriages end in divorce. And when you get married a second time, it's even a higher percentage. Not because of domestic violence or verbal abuse or even adultery, just for lots of other reasons. People leave, we quit, we get tired, we feel dispirited, and sometimes just walking away from something is the easiest thing to do. I wonder what Paul's secret was to sticking around and not losing heart. I think that's something we really want to investigate here tonight. Why stick to a ministry? Why continue to do things, which I think is an excellent thing to do, and not walk away? Always like my illustration of a leaky bucket. It's not here today. They'll say it anyway. It's nothing really to do with the sermon, but just I always think of myself as a leaky bucket. You know, why do I go to church? It's not like Stephen's going to tell me something I don't know already. Sometimes he might, but generally speaking, you know it, don't you? But you get reminded of things and they come back to mind, sort of they lift up in you. And I look at myself as a leaky bucket. You know, I need to come to church, I need to read my Bible, I need to be in prayer because, you know, knowledge just disappears and I need people to put them up in my face again and say, hey, this is how you're meant to live. Like I said, it's not really to do with my sermon, but I just thought I'd throw it in anyway. I think, though, in this case, we're a bit more like helium balloons. That's how I was picturing this one. I like helium balloons. Always felt jealous as a kid for the kid that had the helium balloon. You know, the ones we got at home, they just all went to the floor straight away. I love the helium balloon. But if we had a helium balloon here, what happens is they just rise because helium is lighter than the air that surrounds it, and it just up it goes. But isn't it funny, even with helium balloons, that over time, if you've got them stuck on the roof in your lounge or here at church, that over time they start to go down, right? That's what happens. There's no hole in it as such. It just seems to lose it somehow. And I think, for the purpose of my illustration, I think we can all be like helium balloons. I think, you know, we can be full of enthusiasm at times and we sort of rise. We've got a real heart for what we're doing, a real enthusiasm and desire to do what God's calling us to do, and we feel good about it. And yet over time, like the helium balloon, even without someone stabbing it with a knitting needle, we deflate. Our enthusiasm wanes, and the ministries God has called us to do, it all gets a bit harder and we get a bit tired of it and we sink. So for the illustration today, I think that's like losing heart. Perhaps sometimes, you know, when you look at the Apostle Paul, you think everyone's stabbing it with a knitting needle, and I don't know how in the world he can say, I do not lose heart. Especially with all the personal criticism, an unimpressive person, he's speaking amounts to nothing. That's really hard stuff, hard for anyone to hear. And I'm sure, you know, like a helium balloon, like we all, we sink because of the difficulties, the struggles, practicing music, turning up to cadets as a leader or gyms, the constancy of things, helping out in the creche or Sunday school or serving coffee or writing sermons or visiting another person or whatever it is that we do for the glory of God, that we can easily be like that balloon and just start to sink, losing heart. And so I think it's really important when you read a passage like this to think to yourself, how in the world did Paul, with all that criticism, say twice in the chapter, but we did not lose heart? And so I just want us to look at verse 16 to 18 then. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction, persecutions, stonings, shipwrecks, being unappreciated, unloved, told you not much, don't speak well, momentary afflictions, hunger, thirst, shipwrecks, is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. For as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So we only have a short amount of time, but just unpack it a little bit. For our inner self is being renewed day by day. Paul's not going to a self-help course here, not doing a self-esteem course at TAFE. What's God doing? He's working in Paul. He's being renewed. When I think of that word, I think of the word transform that we find in the earlier chapter, chapter 3, verse 18, that as he looks at Christ, the glory of Christ shines back into his life and he's being transformed in Romans 12 by the renewing of his mind, but he's being transformed from glory to glory. God does that. God renews us. I think what happens so often, and this is what I've noticed in ministry right through, is that when difficult times come, people do one or two of two things. This is what I think, maybe it's a generalisation, but they do one of two things. First of all, and I used to think this was always the case, but it isn't, is that people would turn to Christ. They'd get into the Word, they'd read their Bibles again, they'd say, you know, I've just let these things drift a bit. I've been drifting along, and I really need to get back to God. I really have to look at his word. I've got to pray more. And that's a great response. But also, and this also is true in my experience, people do the opposite thing. They say, if God loves me, these things don't happen, therefore God doesn't love me, and I'm moving on. And they might leave the church, they might leave the kingdom of God, and just move away. And that's a really sad thing. But Paul, in all his affliction, is being renewed day by day because I think he's looking at Christ and he's thinking of what Christ has done for him and also, I believe, the ministry role that he has. And what is that? To be light. He talks about that earlier. The light of Christ. Why should you do ministry? Why should you serve people cups of coffee or look after their children and wipe their noses? Or go to the SRE and the kids make fun of you or whatever. Why should you do it? It's because Jesus has transformed your life. And you know that without the light of Christ in the lives of other people, they have no hope at all. That to me is the primary reason for ministry, any kind of ministry. That you're contributing in some way to the proclamation of the kingdom. And ministries are all kinds, but that should be the end aim, right? Because people don't know Christ and they need to know Christ. And as you look at Christ and think about Christ, you're being renewed even through difficult circumstances. And if you don't do that yourself, ministry can become dry, dead, and rotten, I would think. Secondly, Paul had a heavenly... I have a cold just coming, I think. Paul had a heavenly perspective about life. I don't know if you could ever say it about the most difficult times of your life that you'd say these light to momentary affliction. Getting a terrible disease, losing a loved one, maybe a wife or a husband, losing your job, these light to momentary affliction, being persecuted and whipped, stoned even for the gospel. Would you ever say that? But Paul could because he just compares it to the glory that is yet to come. And so what drove Paul in many ways is just having a heavenly perspective. It's like lifting his, if these are his circumstances, sort of dragging his head up and looking at the future glory that is to come. And brothers and sisters, I think that's very hard for all of us because it's sort of intangible, you know. We can only read it through the pages of the scriptures, and even then, it's not all that clear to us. Paul says, sorry, I'm just jumping ahead for the person at the back. What no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. We haven't seen it, we haven't heard it, but we want it. When I was thinking about glory to come, my mind just raced back to Uncle Tom's Cabin. I read it many years ago. It's one of those books that you read and then you cry. It's a sad book. So Uncle Tom is a Negro slave in America. It's a novel, but true in many of its aspects. And he's been beaten and he's just about to die. All his life, people have promised him things, but they haven't delivered. Promised him his freedom and it's not come. And I just wanted to read out that last bit because it just speaks of that heavenly perspective. So his young master is trying to free Tom, has gone to where he is, but Tom is dying. So we read this. Slowly the idea seemed to fill his mind and the vacant eye became fixed and brightened. The whole face lighted up. The hard hands clasped and the tears ran down the cheeks. Bless the Lord, it is. It is, it's all I wanted. They haven't forgotten me, it warms my soul, it does my heart good. Now I shall die content. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then his friend says, George, you shan't die, you mustn't die, nor think of it. I've come to buy you and take you home, said George with impetuous vehemence. And Tom says, oh, Master George, you're too late. The Lord's bought me and it's going. and is going to take me home, and I long to go. Heaven is better than Kentuck, and I assume that means Kentucky. And George says, oh, don't die, it'll kill me. It'll break my heart to think what you've suffered and lying in this old shed here, poor, poor fellow. And then Tom says, don't call me a poor fellow. I've been poor fellow, but that's all past and gone now. I'm right in the door going into glory, oh, Master George. Heaven has come. I've got the victory. The Lord Jesus has given it to me. Glory be to his name. A novel that reflects some of life and the slave's hope for the future. He's just see heavenly glory awaiting, and he wants to go. It's a lovely end to the story. The Apostle Paul had that kind of heavenly perspective in all his suffering. All his ministry just kept the future. And the future said that everything today is light and momentary. Again, brothers and sisters, would you ever say that of your own troubles, light and momentary? Have you ever said these words from the Apostle Paul, light and momentary afflictions? I find it hard to say those words myself. And yet I think we all know what the Apostle Paul is telling us, that this is light and momentary compared to something that is permanent. Life is transitory. Life is temporary. But we look forward to this thing, this place called home, where it's permanent and the glory never dissolves, never decays, Jesus with us. When I look at the Israelites travelling through the Sinai Peninsula on their way to the Promised Land, they lived in tents, it was all temporary, and they were looking forward to brick buildings and stone buildings and timber buildings and vineyards and all that kind of thing. And that's what drove them on through all their struggles. Where they were was transitory, looking for permanence. And I think all of us in our hearts long for permanence. And that's why we often talk about home in terms of when someone dies, he's gone to be at home with the Lord. Permanent, complete. And Paul always carried that in his mind. And that's why he was not. That's why he did not lose heart. So just as we conclude, just think of the Apostle Paul. This is really personal stuff. So much criticism. So many struggles. So much persecution. And yet he twice in the chapter said, but I do not lose heart. He did not lose heart. Why? Because he had a worthwhile ministry for bringing the light of the gospel to others. Why do we not lose heart? Why do we keep doing what we do? Because we want that to be part of our lives. Why do we not lose heart? Because God is renewing us day by day. Why do we not lose heart? Because everything around us is just temporary. It's not permanent. Why do we not lose heart? Because our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. When do we lose heart? When we think that what we're doing is not important. Or when others tell us that what we're doing is insignificant and no good. When do we lose heart? When we turn away from God's word and we just feel sorry for ourselves. When do we lose heart? When we make too much of this life and not enough of the life to come. When do we lose heart? When we turn our attention away from Jesus and just think of the here and the now. When do we lose heart? When we magnify the here and now. And we minimize what we have to come. I know it's hard at times when you're going through tough times to do that. But perhaps the words of Paul, especially at the end of chapter 4, should be a real encouragement to you, a real encouragement to me. Not to lose heart, not to despair, because we are people of hope. And we follow the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything Paul went through, Jesus went through before him. He did his Father's will to the very end, and he died for our sins. A world without hope now has hope because of in faith we can be saved. That's the light of the gospel, and people need to hear it. And the devil's always whispering to us, you're not important. Look at your circumstances. Take your eyes off Jesus. But we do not lose heart. Because God is gracious. Amen.